Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with my colleagues, Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, Joseph Umar, our executive director of Secure Free Society. I read from Wikipedia because this was not part of my 20th century education. The War of the Pacific was a war between Chile and a Bolivian-Peruvian alliance from 1879 to 1884, fought over Chilean claims on coastal Bolivian territory in the Atacama Desert. The war ended with a Chilean victory, which gained for the country a significant amount of resource-rich territory from Peru, and Bolivia. The reason I go to history of the continent is right now there is news reporting that Peru and Chile have deployed their military to the border between them. You deploy sophisticated military units, you're no longer talking about diplomacy. Joseph, I come to you because this is a complete surprise. We've been reporting on Peru during the pandemic and afterwards as a deeply troubled and qualified country, having to do with the election of Castillo, the removal of Castillo, the rise of the new vice president, Boluarte, but at the same time, several former leaders in Peru are either under investigation or in jail. It didn't occur to me that this was the basis for launching a war with Chile. What is driving this, Joseph?
So, John, this is an interesting development. And as you mentioned, this is historically a border area that's very tense because of previous conflicts, big wars, the War of the Pacific being the biggest, but there's always been kind of ethnic and kind of nationalist sentiments that have driven conflict between Peru and Chile, between Chile and Bolivia, even between Peru and Bolivia to some level, even though they were aligned during the war. There's a concept that at the center we study, and actually this week, John, we're going to be putting out a video about this and then, you know, some reports later this month. That has to do with weaponized migration. It's a concept that we've been studying at SFS because we looked at some of the academic literature, and I point to one in particular is a professor in Tufts University named Dr. Kelly Greenhill, who wrote both her dissertation and later a book about what she called coerced engineered migration, what I call strategic engineered migration. And that's essentially different from just natural ebbs and flows of migration. It's when you specifically catalyze, manipulate, and or induce migration for political and geopolitical objectives against a targeted nation state. Basically, that's weaponizing migration. And I think that that's something that may be happening on the Peru-Chile-Bolivia border. Because initially what provoked the mobilization of the Chilean armed forces was last year, a bunch of Peruvians were migrating into Chile because of the economics and social and political situation inside the country. We remember all the massive protests and things like that. So a bunch of Peruvians were moving into Chile. That mobilized their military to deal with that migration. Now, more recently, they say it's the Venezuelan migrants that have in recent years, migrated to Chile are now looking to go back to Venezuela, which is very curious to me because as much as, things may be marginally improving in Venezuela, they're not anywhere near as decent as they are in Chile. And why would you actually take that big trek back? That's a little weird to me. But nonetheless, there are some, and that's prompted the mobilization of the Peruvian armed forces. But in the end, what my big question, I don't have any the data or evidence to prove this because I haven't looked at it, but I'm interested in, is these webs of migration being manipulated to create some kind of conflict? And as you mentioned, John, when you mobilize two armed forces, even though they're there to attend to migration issues, not because of any kind of threats per se, but that is very dangerous, slippery slope that could lead to a bigger conflict. When you have a Peruvian military soldier and a Chilean military soldier looking at each other across the border, it sparks these sentiments of a previous major war that was fought in the 19th century. So I think this is something to pay attention to because this may be part of an effort. And I would point, if I had to, speculate, to probably Bolivia and Evo Morales, because he, among Venezuela and among these other autocrats, are very experienced in this concept of weaponizing migration and to achieve political and geopolitical ends.
Does Morales gain with the conflict? Does that help him in the region?
So if you listen to Morales' speeches, especially as of recent, one as recent as last week, he talks about a lot about the refounding of Peru. And what he's talking about is not the Peru that we know today on the map. He's talking about this old historic imperial called Alto Peru. It was also considered the Aymara Nation. It was an indigenous territory that actually took northern Chile, southern Peru, and western Bolivia into its own country. So he's talking about basically this kind of imperial map that he wants to rewrite history and kind of project it into current events. And I think that he's using migration, drugs, social conflict as ways to destabilize these areas. And I think he does benefit from it, because if they're able to actually successfully do this, then it opens up the door to have his external benefactors, namely China, Russia, and Iran, engage in new types of trade with a country that's previously landlocked and looking for access to the ocean.
Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society, The War of the Pacific, 1879 to 1884. Here we are in the 21st century, and this is the New World Report, CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.